Jesus answered Pilate, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." In the name of God, who calls us to be faithful. Amen. Today we have come to the last Sunday after Pentecost, in some parts of the Episcopal Church known as Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday we begin again with the first Sunday of Advent, a time to ponder new beginnings, to await anew for the coming of Christ into our lives. We began this month of November, with All Saints Sunday, remembering those we love that we see no longer. This month, we have turned our faces to endings in our lives. Our readings today speak to the cycle of endings and new beginnings. The first reading from 2 Samuel are the last prayerful words of King David as he reflects on his reign. As Martin Copenhaver says, last words have a special weight that other words do not. Last words are given particular significance simply because they are last words. Think of the words that are spoken at a graveside, or the last words that are said to a child when dropping her off at college. People attend to last words. The Bible itself is full of partings and last words. Our gospel from John is about the last words of Jesus, not the famous seven last words, but his final words with Pilate at his trial. Pilate wants to know if Jesus is the King of the Jews. Jesus turns the conversation in a different direction. Instead of his kingship, he talks about the kingdom to which he belongs. A kingdom different from Pilate's kingdom, a kingdom of truth. Jesus ends the passage we heard today with the words, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. As these last words of Jesus come down through the centuries, through the disciples and the church community, what do they mean to us today on this last Sunday of Pentecost 2009? Do we belong to the truth? Belonging is at the heart of this passage, and it is at the heart of our psalm, Psalm 132. In Psalm 132, the psalmist writes about the deep relationship between God and God's people. The psalmist remembers the covenant between God and David, a covenant in which David promised to be faithful to God, and God promises for the first time God's unconditional love to Israel. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. "One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my decrees that I shall teach them, their sons also forevermore shall sit on your throne." A covenant between two people both allows and expresses a relationship of mutual commitment, a relationship in which both God and God's people are able to expect devotion, attention, and care from one another. In a lectionary commentary that I used this week, Andrew Foster Connor's wife, Kate Foster Connors, wrote the commentary. And she writes this: "In the North American church, this expression of covenant, of mutual commitment between God and God's people, is difficult for churchgoers to relate to. Indeed, I would argue that the idea of commitment is hard for many Americans to relate to these days. Is the idea of commitment highly valued today?" Several generations of Americans have witnessed broken promise after broken promise. We have seen the covenant of marriage dissolve as parents or friends divorce. We have seen the pledge of elected leaders to serve the common good dissolve as political leaders make promises and then get caught lying or stealing. Civic engagement is waning, marriage rates are declining, and people change jobs or are transferred every few years. In our daily lives as Americans, commitment to a community, a family, a workplace, a church, sometimes does not seem to hold a place of central importance anymore. For example, young adults love to be invited to join small groups, but maybe not to join an organization that requires paying dues and a commitment of time alone, but offers the promise of close relationships. Just as Pilate questioned Jesus about who he was, what group he belonged to, we wonder about one another. We wonder about ourselves. Where do we belong? And like Pilate, we are prone to test our belonging. In this holiday season of Thanksgiving, over Thanksgiving dinner, maybe we will look around this year at the gathered group and wonder, do I belong here? Do I really want to belong to this family? Everything seems up for grabs these days. Our neighborhood, our country, our family. And we look at our communities of faith. Do I belong here? Do I want to belong to this group of folks? Yes, testing goes on in communities of faith as well. Some people test their belonging by delivering ultimatums. Some people test their belonging by simply drifting away quietly, wondering if anyone will notice. Others take time to engage in thoughtful conversation with the community's leadership, and then through measured prayer and discernment decide whether to stay or leave. But what did Jesus mean by belonging? Bruce Molina writes that one of the greatest challenges for Americans in reading the Bible is to understand the difference between the American emphasis on the individual and the Mediterranean New Testament emphasis on community, which is present in the Hebrew Bible as well. In the world of the New Testament, a person did not think of himself or herself as an individual who acts alone, regardless of what others think and say. Belonging is less about individual decisions and more about collective participation in a community that transcends the self. It's more about collective participation in a community that transcends the self. A community that testifies to the truth. A community that gives us truth into which all of us are invited, healed, and restored. Today, we are invited to bring our pledge cards to God and place them on the altar as an offering of our commitment to this community. Evidence that we claim that we belong, we want to belong to this community of faith. As we look back over our 150 years at Memorial, there has been a continued effort by many individuals to say that they affirm their covenant in community, that they belong to this community of faith. There were those who pledged their hearts and their resources to build this church during the Civil War. There have been the rectors that pledged their lives and livelihoods to this place, some for 40 years, some 30, some 20, some 10. There have been the families that made possible our organ, our parish hall, our endowment, thanks to the DeMuth family for our endowment. And our endowment has allowed us to run programs and maintain staff for many years. It has allowed us to finish our capital improvements, including the elevator we use so very much now. As you will see in your 150th insert to the bulletin, our endowment will not be able to sustain our program and community life much longer, unless we as a community pledge to be in covenant, to say we belong to this place, belong with our hearts, minds, souls, and resources. I want to recall four points of Jason Kunkler's sermon a few weeks back. Number one, your pledge matters. You matter to this memorial community. And your pledge matters to keeping the commitment of this place vibrant and alive. Second, pledging does feel good. At the offertory, we will process our gifts up to the altar, including our pledge cards. As we seek first the kingdom of God, we make our commitment in community. Third, it is not okay to pledge nothing. And at the central part of this question, why does memorial matter to you? An anonymous young couple in the congregation feels so strongly about memorial mattering to them that they have committed to matching the first 150 pledges for 2010, the first 150 pledges of $150. Our cottage meetings, which we hope to continue throughout the year, show us how important this place is to so many. Finally, I ask you one more time, how important is this place in your life? Is it a community that gives you a truth into which you are invited, healed, and restored? Is it a truth that you can belong to? Amen.